producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Oh, what a weekend for some and frightening for others. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation. Maybe you had a chance to kick back, relax. You weren't worried about Ebola for a few minutes, and you went off and saw a movie called Gone Girl, and it scared you to death, and then you started to wonder about your neighbor's marriage. I do have a cheap movie review. I did go and see that movie, and I'll tell you all about it. I did take 2 hours off, and it was perhaps a crazy 2 hours. It's a wild movie. Ebola, serious stuff, lots of conversation, lots of twists and turns. As you know, the studio here, our satellite facility, is 10 miles away from where Thomas Duncan is still at a hospital fighting for his life. They feel pretty confident about Tom Duncan's chances of survival. But, of course, with Ebola and the twists and turns, you never know. So until somebody is out of the woods, they're technically not out of the woods. And then there's this story. A second Ebola patient is going to be treated at Nebraska's Medical Center in Omaha. Is going to get there on Monday. The patient is that NBC freelance cameraman. Ashoka Makopa was diagnosed with Ebola last week. He left Liberia on a plane, a specially equipped plane, and thank goodness they have them because now we've used them how many times, and was headed to Nebraska. So once he's in Nebraska, immediately we do that same thing that we've done in the past. He gets taken to a remote part of the airport. I mean, this is how safe they're because this is frightening what we're seeing. Taking him to a remote part of the airport away from any passenger areas, period. An ambulance is there, boom, get him into the hospital. So now they're talking about when you go to the airport, there is a chance, depending on the airport, you could be screened for Ebola. It's one of the options that's on the table. It's one of the things that they're talking about doing because think of how many people take puddle jumpers, other flights to connect from one destination to another. Plan on getting to the airport perhaps hours and hours before your flight takes off. Seriously. Because you don't have a lot of direct flights, they're saying, from Ebola-affected countries to the U.S. anymore. A lot of passengers. It makes sense. They're getting here on connecting flights from other parts of the world. How challenging is this spider web of who went here and they went here and then they were in New York and then they were in Dallas and then they were in L.A. and then they went to San Diego? It's a nightmare. We knew it was going to be a nightmare even as we were being told everything was under control. It's not, because this is a difficult thing to control. It's the word that I kept using the last couple of weeks, the variables. You can multiply them in all kinds of directions. Now you have the director of the CDC saying that they're looking into all possibilities, including suggestions from Congress. Well, that's a mistake. The public and the media. So literally, they are listening to whatever anybody has to say. You might as well just say that. Anybody who has a thought on Ebola, please contact us at the CDC, because we have a lot of time on our hands, and we're going to see if we think it has any merit. So it doesn't matter. If you're an intern at a radio station or a television station, please call us. I mean, in all seriousness, there are so many things that should have happened before that didn't happen. We are so not equipped in this country to deal with this. And, I mean, this is what it shows us, that once again, we're behind the eight ball, but this is a serious eight ball to be behind on. Yes, of course, the CDC's concerned. Yes, oh, they feel confident. But in the meantime, we're listening to what anyone has to say. By the way, relatives monitored for 21 days from their last contact with Tom Duncan, who's the only patient to develop Ebola in the United States. you know, they're still saying they're monitoring the high and the low risk contacts. This comes back to us and the fact that we're 10 miles from where Tom Duncan is. They say that about 10 people are at higher risk of catching Ebola after coming into contact with Duncan, but haven't shown any symptoms so far. There's 50 people that are being monitored daily. The other 40 are considered low risk. It seems so crazy, doesn't it? So they decide I'm low risk. What does that mean? They monitor me once in a while. But if I'm on the high risk scale, then what? They didn't quarantine me because I'm not a relative. They're following me around and taking my temperature at various times throughout the day. And they're being very vague about that. And then there was this story about this homeless man who came in, who was taken into Parkland Hospital on Sunday, and his temperature was normal. He wasn't showing any symptoms of Ebola before he disappeared. But they also found Sunday two other contacts of Duncan's that had previously were unlocatable. The two people and the homeless man were in the same ambulance as Duncan on the same day. They consider them low risk, but they still want to monitor them for 21 days. Duncan, by the way, is in critical condition. He was listed as serious. They will not tell you many details about, well, wait a second. He was listed as serious and now he's critical. There's been a turn. What does that mean? Remember, Duncan came into the United States on September 20th. And let me rehash the story for you in case you didn't hear it. How did he come in contact with Ebola? A woman who was 19 years old, who was a neighbor, a close neighbor, her parents needed help. She was riddled with Ebola, was having trouble walking the whole nine yards. He helped. They all got into a cab. They went to the hospital. The hospital said, no room. We've got nothing here. We are booked up. Sorry. We cannot take her. She's dying. Too bad. We got nothing. We can't help you here in Liberia. So what did they do? Took her back in the cab. He picked her up in his arms, carried her into the place, into the home, left her there. She died, of course, with the family. She died a handful of days later. He gets on a plane to the United States. He tells, according to the health workers on the forums, he tells the health workers that he had no contact with anyone who was sick. They took his temperature three different times, as they are with everyone in Liberia, and lo and behold, no temperature, because he hasn't experienced it yet. Comes to the United States, goes to the hospital, oops, they accidentally send him home. They don't realize, they don't connect the dots. Next time he comes to the hospital, he's in an ambulance, as I just described that ambulance, only he's throwing up all over the place. Projectile vomit, I don't know how to cover that up, everywhere. Now he's in critical condition. Do the math. I think there's a lot of people that are worried about it. So first we hear, oh, he could almost be out of the woods, like I said at the top of this. Now, critical condition. We're keeping an eye on it, folks. Anybody worried about Ebola and the virus spreading? 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play again. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, die.
We're kicking things off here at the beginning of the week, talking about Ebola and the fact that you've got the one patient, as I just described the timeline for you, in critical condition at a hospital in Dallas. You have the cameraman who knew, self-diagnosed, he knew he had Ebola. He's on the way to Nebraska. You have the possibility of the shakedown for Ebola at your local airport. It's a question of, is it doable? How do you decide what airports to use? Do you do it across the board? And we all have our temperature taken, and do they check us all for Ebola? Because I don't see how you can eliminate certain places. I mean, perhaps you can, but they would be so remote because of all the connecting flights. You know, you've done that, right? You've gone to the airport where you look up at the big board, and it has tons of flights on time, delayed, and everything alphabetically listed that you can possibly ever want. It's like your worst nightmare. It's like a Friday's menu times 100 when you're in a rush. I'm serious. Where you're just trying to, where is it? Where's my flight? So if you looked at that big board, how are you eliminating, if I am Homeland Security, how am I eliminating where I don't think a connecting flight could be affected by someone who comes in and they've got to go off to some other place after they get to JFK or fly into to one of our other airports, Chicago, wherever it might be. Yeah. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. And sure, the airport, if they decide to cherry pick and do airports, the airport they don't pick, that's when something could happen. I would not be stunned If now, when you eventually go to the airport, you may have to have your temperature taken in line to see if you show any of these signs of Ebola. I mean, it's just, if this isn't far-fetched, this is really being discussed. Because how, where's the gate? How do you decide where are you stopping this? And yet we still have not stopped flights from West Africa, and yet we have no Surgeon General. So isn't that interesting? We have no Surgeon General while we're going through the possibility of a terrible crisis. It is a crisis that could explode into something worse. This is the time when you would need one of those. We don't have one of those. So, go figure. The U.S. Surgeon General's office is very silent on Ebola. It really is our worst nightmare. They're hoping it goes away, but hoping and wishing and praying, and we know that doesn't work, right? It's because we've all been there. Things just don't disappear. I mean, we do have an acting Surgeon General, Boris Lushnak, but that's it. We don't really truly have a Surgeon General, which is probably why they're not saying anything. And why are some of the top docs being silent about it? Because, you know, how do they explain or stop this disease? Because you have a problem that starts when people at a Dallas hospital where the Ebola patient first was getting treatment didn't even recognize his symptoms. They sent him home with antibiotics. Didn't recognize it. I mean, what are we, a third world country? It's certainly feeling that way. You know, somebody was telling me this in somewhere they read it and they thought about it too as well. You think about things that have been told to people when the medicine is ineffective. So, Liberia, problems there. Sierra Leone, Guinea, this is all of the three places where they've had Ebola and struggled with it the most. They're struggling to contain the outbreak because they don't have the medical training. They don't have the background. They've got governments that are ineffective. Do we have a government that's ineffective to treat this? And I started to think about this, too. Surgeon General is really, should be, I mean, this is, that would be a prestigious post. But then I thought, well, who's been a Surgeon General that we all remember or we've heard of, depending on our age, doesn't matter, you might have heard of them. And I'm going to say the one that seemed to be the most effective, or definitely was a mouthpiece, wasn't afraid to say what he thought, was when we had C. Everett Koop, right? What if C. Everett Koop were in charge? What would he do? I think he would take the bull by the horns, and he would already have some things in place. But because we really only have an acting Surgeon General, we have nothing coming out of that office, and of course we don't. And we have ineptitude happening among us right now and decisions, kind of willy-nilly decisions. Who makes the decision if we have to be checked for Ebola as to what airports they're going to check Ebola for? How many of you have ever had a connecting flight? Raise your hand. You know, I have my special infrared glasses. Okay, so I've had connecting flights my whole life. In strange places even I lived. When I lived in the central coast of California, you flew out of Santa Barbara and you went either to San Francisco or Los Angeles, and then you went on to Philadelphia or New York. So they're going to have a hard time with this. And then if you look just internationally, you'd have to track all the flights from Africa. And hopefully, for goodness sake, somebody is doing that right now. Because wouldn't that be step number one? Let's contact all the airlines, the possible connections, the possible matrix. Let's try to assemble this. Let's try to put this together. I'm hoping that's what's happening here. Otherwise, I suppose they'll have to just do it to everyone. They'll just have to target every airport. because that would be the only way to be safe about this. The only way. All right, notice because of Ebola, there are so many other things that have gotten shoved into the background, and Ebola, we're concerned about it for our families, our friends, ourselves here in this country, as we should be, and because we see how the ball keeps getting dropped. But, oh, yeah, we still have this ISIS thing going on, right? And why do we care about that? Because your pocket is being picked. That's right. Your taxpayer dollars are funding the airstrikes. And however long they go on, you want to know this. You want to know, is ISIS really a big deal? Is this another thing that we missed? Well, we know that. We know that we did miss the target. We did blow it with ISIS. We did have a chance to arm Syrian rebels 2 years ago, and now we're arming Syrian rebels. But, okay, we're sulking and, I guess, getting over that. How about Joe Biden, the king of I have to apologize again? So in the midst of all that's going on and the frayed nerves over who's handling the airstrikes, what's this coalition look like? You have Joe Biden, who had to apologize to the United Arab Emirates and Turkey for comments he made last week that the Middle East allies are partly to blame for the strengthening of ISIS. So how do you apologize to the United Arab Emirates? Well, you get a call, the Crown Prince does anyway, of Abu Dhabi, and that's exactly what the VP did. Made a little phone calling over the weekend and issued an apology to Turkey as well during the weekend. You have to tread lightly, Joe, when you're talking about the landmines and the quicksand of the Middle East. He just didn't realize that. We had a great conversation last week with Ivan Eland. He is our weekly re-rack. You catch his stuff on Huffington Post, and he is incredibly knowledgeable, especially when it comes to Middle Eastern affairs, I find, and our government in dealing with it. And we talked about constitutional issues and declaring war and do we need Congress and ultimately these airstrikes and what's happening with ISIS. And at this point where we are, issuing apologies, looking at targets, gathering more information, I think it's such a moot point to dig into the congressional issue, especially with the midterms coming up. He had his own thoughts, and that's next, Round the Bend, here on ATN.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
Headlines, suspensions, FCC investigations. That's Man Cow for you. Hear him here. GCN.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in 4 delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, 6 vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Does advertising on the Genesis Communications Radio Network actually bring positive results? Let's ask
Thomas Baldrick from Free Strike Guy.
And do the GCN listeners let you know they heard your ad?
Customers do let us know they've heard Free Strike Guy ads on GCN. They seem to be very loyal listeners to GCN, and they stay with those shows, and subsequently they stay with our business, too.
Looking for positive results? Contact Lee Wickenhauser at 877-996-4327, extension 107.
Hi, I'm John Rainey, Chief Financial Officer of United Airlines, and I'm honored to be the National Chair for the 2015 March for Babies campaign for the March of Dimes. United is a proud supporter of the March of Dimes mission to improve the health of babies and fight premature birth. We're helping the March of Dimes fund breakthroughs in research and community programs that help more mothers have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Please join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.org.
Well, we've been debating this on the show. What's going to happen in Congress? Are they going to authorize this money for this war, or excuse me, this fight with ISIS or ISIL, depending on what day it is and what's happening in D.C.? And what is the legal basis, though, for it? Perfect time to bring in our friend Ivan Elin. Great stuff on Huffington on his blog today. The senior fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. That's exactly what Ivan wrote about. Ivan, thanks as always for popping on the show.
Thanks for having me on, Kate.
So are we skating on thin ice here when it comes to the reasons for these airstrikes that we now have seen and this terrorist group that we've just learned about a couple weeks ago, the Khorasan group?
Yeah, well, I think every time we have one of these brush fire wars, we sink further and further into executive dominance and congressional abdication of their role. The Congress simply left town because they didn't want to vote on the war, because taking a vote on the war is a dangerous prospect in an election year, and not only this election year, but maybe 2 years from now when things aren't going well, it could be even more dangerous. So they left town. They appropriated some money, but they tucked it into a continuing resolution bill, which funded the whole budget, so that they could provide $500 million, which is not a whole lot for training the Free Syrian Army in Syria. But, of course, they have a lot of training to do because that's just for 5,000 people, and they're going to need a lot more than that to defeat ISIS. But the fact is they need to vote on the war to approve it. The Constitution gives the Congress the war power, but you would never know it nowadays since Harry Truman violated that by not getting a declaration of war during the Korean War. We've sunk deeper and deeper into this unconstitutional war-making capability. And the nation's founders, one of the reasons that they made the Congress the dominant force in foreign and national security policy. And yes, that's surprising given the fact that we now think that the president should do that, but that's not the way the founders originally thought of the system working. But the reason they did that is because the kings of Europe in the 18th century, when we became a country, they regularly took their countries to war, and the people themselves that were subjects of these kingdoms regularly played with blood and taxes for these adventurers. And of course, now we've got that sort of, we don't have a king, but he certainly acts like a king in foreign policy. And not only him, but his predecessor and the predecessor before that, ever since Harry Truman, we've really had sort of an imperial presidency with an imperial type of decision making for warfare. President takes the war, takes the country to war, and the legislature just either doesn't do anything at all, as in this case, or simply ratifies it without, because they're too scared to vote against it, as in the invasion of Iraq a few years ago in 2003 under the Bush administration.
So then it's always about justification. Okay, hey, we did this, and because, as you say, this has happened for now through several presidencies, a lot of presidencies, that we, there's basis for this, that we can take this kind of a military action. We just have to make sure that we've got something in place that we can play with, that we can feed out there. It's about feeding us the information, right?
Yeah, well, one president does it, and then all the other following presidents say, well, see, this president did it, so it must be okay, even though the Constitution says it's not okay. The president, the Constitution really, and if you look at the debates at the Constitutional Convention in 1787, you know, the Congress has some gray areas, but this isn't one of them. There's very clear that the only time the president could take the country to war without congressional approval is if there was an imminent attack on the United States that the Congress could not convene. And in those days, of course, the Congress convened a lot less than it does now because people had other jobs and the transportation wasn't too well from all parts of the country. So it took the Congress a while back then by, horse and buggy and wagon or horseback to get to Washington. And nowadays we have modern transportation. The Congress is more in session. So there's even less of an excuse for just going to war without the congressional approval. And even in the case of an imminent attack or an attack on the United States, the Congress should eventually ratify what the president did. If he did take action to defend the country while the Congress is out of session. So there's really no excuse for what's going on now, but the Congress is just too, frankly, too chicken to do anything about it.
And is that partially because, hey, let's be honest, here we have midterm elections coming up, right?
Right. Well, the basic problem is that the founders thought that each institution, you know, the presidency, the Congress, the Supreme Court, they would each stick up for their prerogatives. But the problem with the Congress is they stick up for individual member welfare rather than the welfare of the institution. And that means getting reelected individually. So they don't want to go on record with a vote, which would help strengthen the Congress as an institution, because it might put them at some risk. If the war goes badly, then the president can blame them. And, if it goes well and they don't vote on it, they can just say, well, you know, I supported that. I was, you know, right there. They don't want to be caught if the war goes bad and they voted for it. That's the worst possible world, and they want to avoid that. So they'd rather do nothing rather than vote.
Well, then the other thing is maybe they could keep pushing this because we're pretty close to it and just wait till after the election and then, boom, vote on it. And that's kind of being tossed around.
Well, they may do that. They may do that after the election, take some sort of a vote. We'll see. But I think, you know, that's really not – it's better than nothing. But what we need is this – this should have been done in advance before any troops were committed or any airstrikes are done. And we have this curious doctrine that Obama says, well, if there's no ground combat troops, then I can do it – without Congress's approval. But, of course, the Congress didn't make that distinction because there were no airplanes when they voted on the Constitution. And very frankly, you're still committing both American funds and potentially American lives. What if one of those planes gets shot down? Syrian government does have air defenses, which are fairly capable. So they could shoot down a plane, or the guerrillas could get lucky and shoot down a plane, or the plane could malfunction and crash, and a pilot could get captured. So there are risks associated with even airstrikes on Syrian soil. And of course in Iraq as well. So that's why the Congress needs to approve this stuff in advance, not when it's a done deal, as the presidents often try to make it a done deal when the Congress gets back from their election.
Yeah, what about the whole thing in the middle of this, although this is a United Nations thing, but the UN Security Council and their resolution approving the war. Of course, that's in place, but that's still not the same thing. Some people will point to that, but it's hardly the same thing as what you and I have been talking about, right?
Well, we've been talking about the American constitutional thing, which is the most important thing, I think, following our own constitution. But there's also a thing called international law. And the international law gives a number of ways that justifies one country attacking another. One, you have to have a UN resolution, Security Council resolution, which, you know, there has to be an agreement on the five permanent members. We don't have that in this case. And the second possibility is that we have, a country asks us to help. Now, Iraq has asked us to help, so that meets the test. But Syria has not asked us to help. They may like that we're hitting their opposition forces, but they're hostile to the U.S., so they're not going to invite the U.S. in like Iraq has done. So we don't have that in the case of Syria. And the third possible rationale is self-defense. But, of course, many people say that ISIS is a threat to the region rather than the U.S. So I think that's one of the reasons that they've been attacking this Khorasan group. At first they said that it was an imminent threat to the United States, and then they had other official leaks saying, that the White House is not really correct. This is not an imminent threat, because intelligence officials, the counterterrorism officials, didn't want to be held to that imminent threat because they said, well, the group really doesn't seem to have a time, a target, or, you know, a very solid plan for attacking the United States. So this Khorasan group is more of a threat. It's a very small group compared to ISIS, but it's more of a threat to the U.S. But, of course, there wasn't an imminent threat. And one of the reasons that they're saying that, I think, is because they really don't have much of a, as we've said, the constitutional problem, and then the international law problem. You just can't attack another country without some valid reason. So they're trying to come up with a self-defense reason so that they're not hanging out there while the Congress hasn't authorized it, and it's sort of against international law. So they've come up with this imminent threat from this Khorasan group, which we never heard of, which they hadn't made public before this. So I'm convinced that that's one of the reasons, at least, that they're going after this Khorasan group, because they can claim it's an imminent threat to the United States. Of course, their own counterterrorism officials didn't want to be held to that standard of saying that it was an imminent threat. So there were leaks undermining that. So I don't think that really satisfies the case. It's very difficult to make the case that the U.S. needs to do this attacking ISIS or the Khorasan group for an imminent threat, which is, of course, required for international law, and also, I would argue, required for the president to take action without congressional approval under our own constitution.
Yeah, absolutely. Ivan Elin, as always, thanks so much. Catch us up, Huffington Post. Thank you.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, What do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call? And how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Imagine looking in the mirror, and to your surprise, you look 10 years younger. How would it make you feel? Looking younger can be your reality with our breakthrough anti-aging formula that's clinically proven to visibly and dramatically improve wrinkles, lines, and skin tone. Call 1-844-500-0815. That's 1-844-500-0815. Or visit imaginelookingyounger.com.
We start this version of We Can Count with a little Royals magic. How about all of you listening in the great state of Missouri? KC downing the Los Angeles Angels 8-3. They swept them. So they win the series. They move on to the championship series, the American League Championship Series. 3-0, baby. Baltimore, just as deadly. Another sweep of Detroit, this time with a 2-1 win. So they move on as well. Those two tangling should be pretty interesting to see. Baltimore with all the gas they have on the mound, and man, the magic of Kansas City playoff time. You got to go back to 1985, which is crazy to think about it. And a couple of big games on Monday. The stage is set for San Francisco. Will they sweep as well the Nationals out of the way? Over the weekend, if you didn't catch it, the two teams were involved in the longest baseball game in history. 6 hours, 23 minutes, 18 innings. And in the end, San Francisco beat the Washington Nationals. A tough, tough loss for them. Can you imagine after going through all of that? Packed house. Everybody staying. They get there in the afternoon and they're waiting, hanging around, really pulling for their home team. And unfortunately, the Giants Well, if you're a Giant fan, you're not thinking that. But the Giants are able to come through 2-1 and now move on to this situation where they have a chance to close the deal on Monday after 18 innings, 6 hours plus. You know, it shows you how my mind works. I was thinking with all the people sitting there, do they stop serving at some point and cut them off? Brandon Belt, by the way, with the big fat home run that sealed the deal in the marathon. This is why I like the great game of baseball, because you wait for the playoffs. The playoffs, it's like the middle of the Oreo. It is always good. It has never disappointed me since I've been a kid, since I covered the great game of baseball, and since we arrived here on America Tonight. Speaking of arriving, the second Ebola patient is now headed to Nebraska. It was that NBC cameraman who self-diagnosed himself after covering the Ebola conflict for a while. He realized, people who were coming down with it, he realized that he had it. So he immediately isolated himself. And now he is on his way and should be there on Monday. He is on his way to Nebraska. He was a freelance cameraman. He left Liberia on another one of those planes that they have to jimmy-rig up, specially equipped for what they're handling there. And once he's there, they're very worried about where he's going to show up in the airport. So they put him in a remote part of the airport. An ambulance takes him away, and off he goes. And because of that, now there's been some conversation about the potential of having all of us screened for Ebola, meaning passengers arriving on connecting flights from other parts of the world. So when they come here, it could be very challenging, I would assume, but now, because of what has happened, especially with Thomas Duncan, the patient, the first U.S. patient who got Ebola in the United States after coming back from Liberia, there's a lot of heavy conversation about having that happen. I mean, they're looking into all possibilities, but that is definitely one of them. By the way, speaking of Tom Duncan, he is now listed in critical condition. So initially he was serious condition. Now he is listed in critical condition as of Sunday. Remember, he's the guy who arrived in Dallas on September 20th, started feeling sick just days later, and that's when the ball was dropped. When he went to the hospital, then he ended up having to go back. We all know that story by now. That was a big miss, and it put other people in danger. There's no two ways about it. Here we go again with the search for the missing plane. Yep, the search for MH370. They say another phase for that Malaysian airliner. What's going to happen is the Go Phoenix search vessel, that's what it's called, is now on the scene in the southern Indian Ocean. They start their search. They've already started it, actually. So it's the beginning of what they believe could be a year-long operation, which will ultimately be run by the Australians. The ship and two others, which the two others are coming later in the month, will do these sonar sweeps to try to locate wreckage of the plane. The disappearance of 370, now they're saying, is the greatest mystery in the history of commercial flight, with the extensive search that's already gone on failing to turn up anything, any definitive piece of evidence as to what happened to this plane. You know, we have to go back, especially how just time marches on. We have to go back to March. Think about that in the recesses of your mind. Remember, we were talking about that forever. March 8th, 1:30 a.m., that's when it slipped off the radar over the sea between Malaysia and Vietnam. So you had planes, ships from 14 different countries searching all over the South China Sea, south of Vietnam, the Malaysian Peninsula, then it got bigger, then they moved the location, then we saw satellite images from space, we heard about the pinging, 7 intense weeks, all captured, by the way, if you go to the archives, exclusively on CNN. Every time I turned around, CNN was breaking the story about they found the plane. And, of course, they did not find the plane. They believe they found the plane. And that did not happen. We'll see what happens now in this new search. But they're going to keep pushing forward and try to end the mystery and find that wreckage. You know, think about this. Imagine the debris field if they find any pieces of this. I mean, the debris field after this amount of time, would be pretty vast. And the Australian government is mapping and doing the underwater searching, and the amount of money being spent on this in Australia for the Australians, $60 million US. That's what it would translate into, $60 million. And the Malaysian government is ponying up the same amount of money too. I mean, both governments, Malaysia and Australia, eventually are going to have to decide what resources they're going to supply. And I can't imagine, I mean, how, you know, they have all this optimism now that they're going to be able to find this. But at what point do you say, okay, it's a mystery. The pings, the satellite photos, all the money we've blown on this. It's sad. We thought we could find it. But guess what? We can't find it, so we have to give up. It really could end up being one of those, we're giving up, and then eventually someday somebody comes up with the answer to the riddle of where did that plane go? If you've listened to America Tonight, you know, and I've posted these pictures. I posted these pictures on Facebook. If you go to AmericaTonight.net, all roads lead there. I posted some blood moon photos. It was very cool. I went out and I actually saw a blood moon. It was just this big red dot in the sky. They say the second part of this is going to happen. If you live in the western part of the United States, I know you're out there, Spokane, Los Angeles, a whole bunch of you, you have a really good view of this lunar eclipse that's going to turn the moon to that burnt reddish orange that I saw for about an hour on Wednesday. So it's the second blood moon in a pretty short amount of time. The full eclipse is at 6:25 a.m. It lasts until 7:24. How cool is that? They say the blood moon this time is going to be the size of a supermoon, so it'll be much bigger than the one that I saw back in April. Cool! Thanks for listening to this hour of ATN.
Heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 800-538-5252, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-538-5252. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-538-5252. That's 800-538-5252.